Well, we've been looking at some of the parables these last few weeks, and our parable for today is found in Luke chapter 15, which is actually a return to a chapter that we were in a couple of weeks ago. In fact, Jesus stacks three parables on top of each other in that chapter. The one that we're going to read in a minute about a shepherd who leaves his flock and seeks a wandering sheep. Then there's a parable, a little brief parable about a poor woman who loses one of her silver coins, probably a wedding gift, something of great value to her. And then finally, a parable about a father who loses his son to worldliness or to the world. Do you think that Jesus might have been trying to drive home a point by putting these parables together? An animal, a valuable coin, finally a person, a son? What length will God not go to in order to get back what is of infinite worth to him? And in fact, you know, that sentence alone is a pretty good summary of all of Scripture, of what the Bible is about, the lengths to which God will go in order to get back what is of infinite worth and value to him. You know how he speaks in Matthew's gospel, saying, "Your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these should be lost." Well, let's read the parable this morning. It's found again in Luke chapter 15, first seven verses. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. I would like to take the essence of that parable and share with you a parody or a parable on the parable that I wrote this past week. There was a great distress among the sheep. Wally, a pesky little sheep, was missing. By all sheep standards, Wally was a black sheep. For one thing, he had an unpleasing, grating blah, bah. And when it came time to move from one pasture to the next, Wally was always lagging behind. And when it was time for them to be sheared, Wally would kick and thrash about so that it took twice as long to shear him than the others. One night, while everybody was asleep, a wolf crept into the fold. All the other sheep were clumped together, but one of them, Wally, of course, was off by himself alone. He was easy prey for the wolf, who grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and began to drag him away, figuring that he had found dinner. But Wally woke up and began bleating in such a loud, harsh voice that it hurt the wolf's sensitive ears. He thrashed about so hard until finally the wolf let him go. Great. But now Wally had another problem. He was out in the middle of nowhere with no clue where he was. He was lost. And in a moment of awareness, he realized how good he had had it, how good it had been to have a shepherd, a good shepherd, who would lead and guide and protect him. And the shepherd had always shown him to fresh new pastures and led him to clear, cool streams, and had, at least until the present moment anyway, kept him safe. Now he was out in this rocky, barren plain, with no idea how to get food or water, and no hope of finding rest for the rest of the flock. How frightening to be so lost. Wally tried to go to sleep, but he kept thinking about the wolves and the hyenas that might be coming to get him. And he was also thinking about his own hunger and was feeling like he was starving. He dozed on and off until finally he really did fall asleep. But about the time the sun was coming up, he heard a heavy, deliberate footsteps. Probably a bear. Well, at least it would be quick. He closed his eyes and waited for his neck to be torn from limb to limb. Meanwhile, back at the fold, things were happening. The sheep were starting to stir. A few got up just in time to see the shepherd leaving. Something was up, they could tell. What, though? What? Well, the only conclusion their little sheep brains could come up with was somebody's missing. Somebody's missing. They worked themselves up into a frenzy, thinking they had been abandoned, until one particularly sharp-eyed sheep looked out and saw the shepherd coming back over a distant hill. The sheep rejoiced. They frolicked and they bleated with joy. And then they got a good look at the shepherd, and all of the celebration suddenly came to a halt, for there was Wally, riding comfortably on his shepherd's shoulders. The sheep were dumbfounded. How could this be? The shepherd had left all the good, cooperative, well-behaved sheep to go rescue one obnoxious, unpleasant, antisocial one. So the sheep gathered together, and they put down a formal grievance. And they appointed one of their number to take the flock's complaint to the shepherds. Here's how it read. Whereas, some days ago, we sheep were left alone to fend for ourselves. And whereas, the uncertainty over the shepherd's return caused serious distress amongst us. And whereas, all this distress was caused over one sheep that really, nobody really even hardly really liked very much in the first place, really. They had a little bit of trouble wording that one. We the sheep do strongly protest our abandonment on the night in question. And we demand an apology for such thoughtless and irresponsible action on the part of the shepherd. And we want justice. Signed, the flock. Well, when the shepherd received the message, he called a meeting of the sheep and responded to each one of the concerns that they had mentioned. He said, yes, it is true. I left the flock all alone a few nights ago, and you were left to fend for yourselves. But have I ever really, totally, completely abandoned you before? Haven't I always protected you from wolves and taking you to fresh pastures and clear streams? I've never abandoned you before. Why would I start now? And finally, as to the part about its being unfair, what was unfair about it? Wouldn't I have done the same for any of you? Well, said one of the ringleaders, going out and saving all the rest of us is one thing, but you put us all in jeopardy for him. And they all looked over at Wally, who was looking quite sheepish at this point. He continued, why didn't you just let him take his chances? He didn't deserve to get saved. It's not fair. And though he probably didn't realize it, that sheep actually did tell the truth, at least part of it. Wally didn't deserve to get saved. It was not fair. Of course, the other half of the truth is none of the other sheep deserve to get saved either. Now, when you lay this story over the tenor of your life, you begin to realize that God does not do just what is just. God does not do what is fair. God does much better than what is fair. It's what we call grace. The foremost of sinners, and of course you remember the Apostle Paul put himself among that number as being the chief of sinners, receive salvation. I wonder, have you allowed him to come into your life and to redeem and save you in that way. That God is a God of infinite patience. Like the shepherd, he keeps going out after the wallies of the world. He never gives up. God is always seeking us. I remember running into a man in the inner city when I worked in the inner city of Detroit a few years ago. I came in contact with a ministry down there called the Glorious Freedom Mission. Wonderful mission. Mary Lou Brown has led it for 50 or more years. And she tells the story of two men who were alone in one of them's apartments, a little flea bag type of apartment in the inner city, drinking and over drinking one night, so much so that one of them actually died in the middle of the night. But the other one, who had led a life of debauchery and had wasted everything that he had ever had, was awakened spiritually that night through that incident and found his way to the Glorious Freedom Mission and was converted and became one of the stalwarts of that mission. And it just put me in mind that God does never give up on us, does he? He never backs away and says, I'm going to leave that one alone. He continues to pursue us, and he wants to gather the loved ones who are not in the fold just yet into the fold. And you may be, it may be that you have some in your family or in your life, loved ones that are not in the fold at the moment. And I think this story reminds us, don't give up. Don't stop praying for that one or those ones that are not yet where they need to be spiritually. So as you look at this parable from the vantage point of the Good Shepherd, yes, he could have been facing a real mess when he returned. The sheep could have been scattered, a wolf could have happened onto the scene. Yes, I almost want to question his reasoning or his sanity. But then I realized that he went out after that one lone sheep out of an extreme love for all of his sheep, no one excluded, not even the ones that were regarded as black sheep. That's the kind of love that God has for each one of us. And of course, this parable leads to the designating of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Over in John chapter 10, Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd. He says, and I'd like to read a few of those verses, starting with verse 11. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man or a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. But I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Why can Jesus call himself the Good Shepherd? It's good because he has moral character, character that is above dispute, and because he laid down his life for his sheep, for us, just like David did. David was a model of a good shepherd back in the Old Testament. There's this wonderful account in 1 Samuel chapter 17 about David out in the field keeping his father's sheep when a lion and a bear come upon them and carry off one of his sheep. David instantly, without hesitation, confronts both of these animals. When that lion turns on David, he seizes it by its hair, he strikes it and kills it, and then proceeds to do the exact same thing to the bear with his bare hands. He put his life on the line to protect and to defend. It's that way with Jesus. He put his life on the line for his sheep, for you and for me. He's a strong protector and a strong deliverer and a strong defender. And you're safe in his arms. Just don't jump out. That's our problem. We get antsy and anxious, and we jump out of his arms, and we begin to try to conquer the things in our lives in our own strength. when if we would just remain close to him, we would be delivered. Well, what does this parable look like from the vantage point of the sheep, the 90 and 9? Well, it's clear, as Denise said earlier in the service, that sheep need a shepherd to lead them. They are vulnerable. They're easily frightened. They scatter easily. They get confused. In fact, you know, this imprint concept that we've been talking about the last few weeks really doesn't work too well with sheep. They don't imprint good behavior very well. They tend to go off in all directions. On the other hand, though, they do know their master's voice. And as long as they keep tuned to that voice, they're okay. In fact, to their credit, sheep will actually follow a voice that they recognize. We humans need a shepherd too, for it is in our nature to wander. We, like sheep, have gone astray, wrote the prophet Isaiah. And goodness knows there's enough out there to lead us down paths that lead nowhere, or perhaps lead to destruction. Let me tell you something. Whatever draws you away from Jesus or your family, be it an addiction or an affair or some unethical behavior, will suck the life out of you and ultimately drop you like a hot potato. It's like being led around by the hired hand instead of the true shepherd. The true shepherd has your best interests in mind. The hired hand doesn't care about the sheep. He'll run at the first sign of danger and let the wolves come in to steal, kill, and destroy. I've seen alcoholism and other forms of addiction shred families and shred lives. And I have seen kids listen to the swaying voice of friends who cared absolutely nothing about them, but they would listen to those voices, and then those friends would be nowhere to be found when trouble struck. Don't listen to those voices. Listen to the voice of the one that you belong to, the one who cares for you, the Good Shepherd. Now, that said, we need to get a little sharper in our voice recognition. I'm not talking about hearing voices when we talk about the phrase that he knows, or we know he knows us because of his voice. I'm talking about developing our listening skills, listening to God's word. We could do that by joining a Bible studies that we have here, also by doing personal study, or, of course, both. We can develop our listening skills by listening to one another. There's a lot that we can share with one another that speaks deeply into our lives that can help us. And then, of course, we can listen best when we go into the prayer closet. The prayer closet is simply a term or a phrase that refers to a time and a place where you get alone before God and pray. And he will lead you, but you have to give him an opportunity to speak. If this worship service is your only time of connecting with God in a week's time, then you're not going to get everything that you need. It's like owning a radio or a television, and with all the wonderful things that a TV can show you or do for you, but you never turn it on. Let me encourage you to build some quiet time into your routine in which you have some conversations with God and you quiet yourself for a few moments each day to listen to what he might have to say to you. Well, we've looked at the impact of this parable on the shepherds, or the great shepherd, on the lost sheep. And the lost sheep, perhaps we can all identify with how good it is to be found. How good it must have felt to that lost sheep that I described in the story, that Wally, a few moments ago, to open his eyes and see the shepherd standing over him. Probably with an expression on his face like, well, you've done it again, Wally. But oh, the joy of knowing that you are of such high value in the shepherd's hand. that the shepherd would go to such lengths to come and to rescue you. Those of you who have been in the faith for a while, I hope that you won't ever forget what the Lord has rescued you from and what your life might have been if you didn't become one of the sheep in his sheepfold. So let me ask you this morning, who is your shepherd? Who leads you? Who guides you? Whose voice are you listening to? Is he your shepherd? Are you following him? If he's not, would you like to become a part of his flock today? There's a great promise associated with this story, with this passage of scripture. The thief, we know, comes to take away, to kill, to steal, to destroy. But the good shepherd comes to bring abundant life. Abundant life is life that is full and rich and satisfying, not pain-free, not problem-free. It has its challenges and its struggles. But following the good shepherd will bring us much more abundance in living than any other way you could possibly think of. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your patience with each and every one of us, for staying with us and for chasing us down when we have gone down fruitless paths. We thank you that you love us, and we thank you for your patience with us. Lord, it is our desire today to join with you, to follow you, to have you to lead us all the way through our lives. We do thank you for your patience and faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name.